Well, shalom, y'all. We are so glad that you have joined us this week for this teaching. You know, great shalom have those who love his Torah, and nothing will cause them to stumble. Well, this week, as we track along with our Torah portions, we are starting a new book. We are in the book of Leviticus, and we are reading about the instructions that Yahweh gives Israel concerning the offerings. You know, today we do not offer the offerings anymore. We bring a spiritual offering unto him. We don't go in our backyards. We don't have a temple where we are sacrificing animals or offering a grain offering or a peace offering or a Thanksgiving offering or the sin offering. But what the offerings do point us to is the work that Yeshua would do for us as believers. The fact that he was our sin offering, our guilt offering. He was the one who laid down his life so that we could draw near unto the Father. He was the one who brought peace between us and the Father. And now we can bring a free will offering, or we can draw near unto him. We can give an offering of thanksgiving. We can bring a grain offering, you could say, by the bulls of our lips, or by the praises that come off of our lips. But also, as Paul himself would say, he beseeches us, or he tells us, to be a living sacrifice. So as we look through the offerings, as we look through the instructions and the law that was given unto Israel regarding the offerings, it points two things for us. Number one, it shows us about Yeshua. The fact that it was an animal without spot. The fact that the grain offering was that without leaven, that it was that which was salted. It speaks of the fact of that Yeshua was without sin. He was perfect. He was spotless. He was without blemish. He lived the perfect, sinless life, willingly gave of his life upon that cross for us. He died. His blood was shed. And through his blood, there is a remission of our sins. There is a cleansing of our sins. There is an atonement, a covering of our sins. Our sins are dealt with. They are wiped away. And there is nothing more that we need to do in order to be forgiven. The blood of Yeshua is the very thing that forgives us of our sins, of our uncleanness, of where we have disobeyed his law. Now, as the writer in Hebrews says, we do not trample on the blood of Yeshua, though. So we do not continue to willfully and purposefully walk in sin because of his blood. Because if we purposely and willfully continue to be disobedient and walk in stubbornness and be hard-headed, then we are trampling on the blood of Yeshua. But we also see here in the fact that we are to be a living sacrifice unto our Heavenly Father, it shows us how we need to live our lives, things that we can apply unto ourselves in order to be that living sacrifice. And the idea of the sacrifice, as we read through these sacrifices, we see that they were a pleasing aroma. So the idea is that the smoke of the offering would rise from the tabernacle unto the throne room of heaven, and God himself, Yahweh, would smell this aroma, and it would be pleasant unto him. Well, when we live our lives a certain way, when we apply the principles that we see in these offerings, and we bring our lives unto him in a way that is pleasing unto him, it is like a pleasing aroma. It is an incense that is rising unto his throne room. So let's go ahead and start. And the one I want to talk about is the grain offering, just a little section of it here. That's what we're going to highlight on for this time around. We're going to look at Leviticus chapter 2 and verse 11. No grain offering that you bring to Yahweh shall be made with leaven. For you shall burn no leaven nor any honey as a food offering to Yahweh. As an offering of first fruits, you may bring them to Yahweh, but they shall not be offered on the altar for a pleasing aroma. You shall season all your grain offerings with salt. You shall not let the salt of the covenant with your God be missing from your grain offering. With all your offerings, you shall offer salt. So there's two things that I want to talk about here in these three verses. The first thing we see here is when they brought their grain offering, they are instructed that no grain offering should have leaven inside of that offering. Now, leaven is actually represented by a few things when we look at the scriptures in the New Testament. And that's what I want to do, is look at some of the scriptures in the New Testament and see what Yeshua would call leaven, to see those things that we want to make sure is not in our offering. So what does it mean for us to not have it in our offering? Because we're not physically bringing a grain offering again. It's about us being a living sacrifice. So this is about what is inside of us, what is inside of our hearts. So it's making sure, and it's us being diligent and doing the work to get rid of the leaven that is within our hearts, because that which is in our hearts is that which is going to flow out of us. Our actions are going to be that of what is in the heart. So let's look at Luke chapter 12 and verse 1. In the meantime, when so many thousands of the people had gathered together that they were trampling one another, he began to say to his disciples, this being Yeshua, he began to say to his disciples first, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. So here in this first verse that we're reading, we see Yeshua is comparing the hypocrisy of the Pharisees. He is calling it leaven. So when we're looking at being that living offering that is pleasing unto God, we need to beware that we do not have the leaven of hypocrisy in our hearts. What is hypocrisy? When we look at the Greek word there, it was a word that was used that meant a person who was acting out on a stage play, somebody who was playing a role. So when he is saying the Pharisees, which are hypocrites or who are walking in hypocrisy, what he is saying is they are playing a role. They are acting. So this would be one who is trying to be religious, one who is trying to show that they are righteous by their actions and by their ways. They're trying to act it out by what they do. It's all about the outward mannerisms, how people see them, how people perceive them. They're not concerned about what's going on in the heart, what's going on in the inside. The Pharisees' hearts were not clean. The Pharisees' hearts did not love God, yet they tried to play the part of a religious and righteous person, yet their hearts were not righteous. So the first part of being a person that is unleavened, that does not have leaven in our lives, is to get rid of hypocrisy. It's to get rid of the trying to look a certain way unto people, trying to play a part, not be so concerned about how we are perceived by people, but be more concerned about what is going on in the heart. Because if we can be concerned about what's going on in the heart, if we take care about what's going on inside and cleaning up our hearts, the outside will become clean. But if we're trying to clean out the outside without cleaning the inside, we are going to fail. We're never going to succeed because our heart is going to continue to manifest itself in what we do. So we need to be a people who allow God, who allow His Spirit to work in our hearts. Yeshua is the one who comes and He circumcises our hearts. He cleanses our hearts of all of uncleanness. So it's a matter of us in prayer and surrendering to Him and crying out for help and allowing Him to work on our hearts, to cut away those things in our hearts that are not pleasing unto Him, that are not aligned with His word, with the instructions, with His law, with His Torah, which He has given us. His Torah is simply instructions on how to love Him in a manner that is pleasing unto Him, and that which is set apart, that which makes Him set apart, and thus exalting His name above all other names in the earth. We exalt His name when we worship Him in set apartness. And His Torah also instructs us on how to love other people. We do not choose how we're going to love people. His word instructs us on how we love people. So we need to be a people who allow His Spirit to work in our hearts, to do that work so that we can walk in obedience to Him and to get rid of any hypocrisy that may be in our hearts and in our lives. Now let's look at our next verse in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 5. When the disciples reached the other side, they had forgotten to bring any bread. Yeshua said to them, "Watch and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees." And they began discussing it among themselves, saying, "We brought no bread." But Yeshua, aware of this, said, "O you of little faith, why are you discussing among yourselves the fact that you have no bread? Do you not perceive, do you not remember the 5 loaves for the 5,000 and how many baskets you gathered? Or the 7 loaves to the 4,000, and how many baskets you gathered? How is it that you fail to understand that I did not speak about bread? Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees." Then they understood that He did not tell them to beware of the leaven of bread, but of the teaching of the Pharisees and Sadducees. So here we see in this passage where Yeshua is warning His disciples. He tells them, "Watch and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees." And we see that the disciples came to understand that the leaven that Yeshua is speaking of dealt with the teachings of the Pharisees and Sadducees. So in making sure that we have no leaven in our lives, no leaven in our hearts, we need to beware of the teachings that we are listening to and following. The Pharisees and Sadducees were not teaching the Jews according to righteousness. In fact, we're going to see here in a bit that they were more interested in teaching the people their traditions than they were actually teaching them the Word of God. So they were more interested in their commands of men, or you could say commands that they themselves had made up, that they created for men to follow. Or you could say religious rules. Religion does it even today. Religion makes their own traditions, makes their own rules, makes their own commandments, and then tells people to follow their traditions or their teachings, which are not based upon the Word of God. So we as people need to beware of the leaven, the teachings of people, of men, that do not line up with the Word of God. And that is all of His Word, from Genesis unto Revelation, including His Torah. His Torah directs us in that which is set apart, that which is holy. So anything that would go contrary to the Torah would not be a command of God, but would be a tradition of men. It would be a command or instruction that is set up and rooted in religion or men's tradition. So let's look at Matthew chapter 15 and verse 1. Then the Pharisees and scribes came to Yeshua from Jerusalem and said, "Why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat." He answered them, "Why do you break the commandment of God for the sake of your tradition?" So I'm going to pause here, not going to read the whole interaction here, but the Pharisees are upset with the disciples because they are not washing their hands before they eat, which, as we see here in this scripture, was a tradition of the elders, or you could say it was a rule, a commandment, an instruction created by man. And they are upset that Yeshua's disciples are not following their religious commands. Nowhere in scripture do we see a command that one must wash their hands before they eat. So they were not trying to enforce God's commandments. They were trying to enforce man's rules or their traditions. So Yeshua answers him, "Why do you break the commandment of God for the sake of your traditions?" So we see where the Pharisees are. They were a group of people who were breaking the commandments of God. They were not walking in obedience to God's commands, but instead were following and being obedient to their own traditions or those commandments and rules that were set up by religious leaders. They were more interested in being obedient and following their religion than they were the commandments of God. Okay? So, how do we beware of the teaching of the Pharisees and Sadducees? Being aware of those who teach us to break the commandments of God for the sake of tradition, for the sake of religious tradition, for the sake of man's teachings, man's commandments. That is what we need to be aware of. So, 11, two things we've seen so far, the hypocrisy, and now we're seeing the false teaching. We need to be aware of the false teachings. Now let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 1. It is actually reported that there is sexual immorality among you, and of a kind that is not tolerated even among pagans. For a man has his father's wife, and you are arrogant. Ought you not rather to mourn? Let him who has done this be removed from among you. For though absent in body, I am present in spirit, and as if present, I have already pronounced judgment on the one who did such a thing. When you are assembled in the name of the Lord Yeshua, and my spirit is present with the power of our Lord Yeshua, you are to deliver this man to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, so that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord. Your boasting is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? Cleanse out the old leaven that you may be a new lump, as you really are unleavened. For Messiah, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. Let us therefore celebrate the festival, not with old leaven, the leaven of malice and evil, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. So here in this passage, we see Paul likens sin unto that being leaven. So he is speaking of an individual who is in sexual immorality. The church there in Corinth has not brought discipline to this individual who is willfully and purposely walking in sexual immorality, and that which he knew was wrong and sinful, and even to a point that Paul says this behavior isn't even tolerated among the pagans, or you could say those who were unbelievers, those who were of the nations, even they looked upon what he was doing and was like, man, we wouldn't even participate in that wrongful act. But yet the church seemed to be turning a blind eye to this sin, which Paul calls leaven. And he tells them, if you allow this sin to stay, then it will spread, because that's what leaven does. Leaven spreads throughout the batch of flour. So there's no such thing as having just a little leaven and it staying a little leaven, because that little leaven is going to spread. As he says, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. Before long, the whole lump has leaven in it. So if the church of Corinth would allow this sexual immorality, this sin, to stay within their church, within their body, then that one person who is sinning would spread until it corrupted the whole lump. Okay? So things that we have to think about when it comes to our heart and leaven. So when we're working on getting rid of the leaven that is in our hearts, we are working on getting rid of the sin that is in our hearts. The desires that we have in our hearts that do not align with his word, that is not submitted to his word, and that are in those thoughts and those desires that are contrary to his word. He says, let us celebrate not with the leaven of malice and evil. Or you can say of that evil being that which is against his word, that which is sinful, that of disobedience to his commands. But he says, let us celebrate with unleavened bread. So what does unleavened bread look like? Or what does an unleavened heart look like? It has sincerity and truth. So this is a heart that sincerely desires to walk in the commands of Yahweh, that sincerely wants to please him. Truth. So sincerity and truth. Truth is simply his word. Psalms tells us that all of his word is truth. So the first thing to walking in truth or having truth in our heart is to have his word in our heart. So we need to have a heart that's sincere, that desires and wants to walk in obedience to his word, not in disobedience. A heart that desires to have truth in it, that you store truth in your hearts, and then you have the desire to walk out that truth. That you're not just a person who hears his word, you're not just a person who reads his word, but you are a person who sincerely desires to do that which you know, that which you have heard, that which you have read, that you would be a doer of his commands. That is the heart that he desires for every believer to have. And that is how we have an unleavened heart. It's us cleansing our hearts of that which is impure. It's crying out like David cried out, search my heart, try my heart, or you could say, test my heart and see if there be any wicked way in me. Can we be brave enough to be people who pray this prayer on a regular basis and sincerely mean it? And when he shows us those things which we need to get rid of, we are obedient and we do it. Let's look at Mark chapter 9 and verse 42. Whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a great millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea. And if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life crippled than with two hands to go to hell, to the unquenchable fire. And if your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life lame than with 2 feet to be thrown into hell. And if your eye causes you to sin, tear it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than with 2 eyes to be thrown into hell, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched, for everyone will be salted with fire. Salt is good, but if the salt has lost its saltiness, how will you make it salty again? Have salt in yourselves and be at peace with one another. So this, we're talking about the salt. Remember, the grain offering was to have salt, to be without salt. So here we see Yeshua referring to the fact that we as believers are to be salty. Okay, we are not to lose our salt. So what is this salt? What makes us salty? It's being set apart from the world. When we look at it here in the context of the scripture, of what is being said, Yeshua is talking about getting rid of sin that is in your life. He says, if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. He's not instructing us to literally cut our hands off, but he is giving us instructions on how and an understanding of how serious we need to be about getting rid of temptation that is in our lives. If you have a temptation that you cannot overcome, then you need to cut off that temptation. You need to get rid of that temptation. Because it is better to be without a hand than to end up in hell and the unquenchable fire. Okay, so it's better to suffer the loss, whatever you have to do now, the pain you go through now to get rid of the temptation, then it's going to be serving or being in hell in the unquenchable fire for eternity. Okay, now remember, what sets us apart from the world? Walking in obedience to his word. Walking in obedience to his word will never justify us. We are justified, we are cleansed, we are forgiven because of the blood of Yeshua. Then he gives us his word. He gives us his commands. He gives us his Torah for us to follow. That when we do follow and when we are obedient to it, it sets us apart from the world. The Torah itself is set apart. It's righteous. It guides us in that which is righteous, that which is good, that which is set apart. So in order to be salty, we must be a people of obedience to his word. That's how we become salty. And in verse 49, he says, for everyone will be salted with fire. Fire speaks of refinement. You refined gold in fire. So how do we become salted? How do we become set apart? It's by going through the trials and the tribulations. It's by being purified by him. We can never obtain set apartness. We can never be a pleasing aroma unto him on our own. We have to be dependent and reliant upon him with his fire, for his fire to purify us, to salt us. So when we face the trials and the tribulations in life, that is him salting us. We are being salted by him so that we can be that which is useful for him to the world around us, so that our salt could be good. so that men can see our good works and praise our Heavenly Father. What is good works? It's obedience to His word. It's them seeing us walk in His righteousness, seeing us loving people as we ought to love people. When they see us walking in His righteousness, we will be as a light that is shining on a hill. We will be as that salt. It will attract those unto us that have been called into His kingdom. And we need to be a people who are willing to be that salt and that light. So that's what the offering here speaks of. When we think about it in terms of having that living sacrifice each and every day, we need to be a living sacrifice unto Him. So we need to make sure that we are a people who is unleavened and that we are salted. We take up our cross daily, as Yeshua said. If we want to follow Him, or you can say, if we want to live a life that is pleasing unto the Master, if we want to have a life that is a pleasing aroma, that is a living sacrifice that our Heavenly Father takes pleasure in, we need to take up our cross daily and die. What are we dying to? It's the fleshly desires that are inside of us that are contrary to His word. And that starts with what's going on in our hearts. It's making sure that our hearts are dealt with and they are in the right place. Because out of the heart will flow either obedience or disobedience. And He desires obedience. Our best thing that we can provide in being a living sacrifice is obedience to His word, to His instructions, His commands, His Torah. And when we walk in obedience to His word, upon being cleansed by the blood of Yeshua, we are pleasing unto our Heavenly Father. And He takes delight in us. And He desires to have communion with us, to abide with us, to dwell with us, and to bless us, and to be our God, which means that He will be whatever we need, our healer, our deliverer, our provider, our protector. He is the one who is watching over us. He knows everything about us, every detail about our lives, how many numbers of hair is on our head. He knows that. He cares for us. And what we do in return is we put in us a heart that desires to be pleasing unto Him, to walk in His ways. Well, hallelujah. I hope that this has blessed you this week. We will be back again next week with a teaching from next week's Torah portion. So we hope that you come back and join us. So come back now and shalom, y'all.